Tonight, interesting title, A Christian Present. You're like, what? Because isn't that what it is? We got Christmas trees, and we got all this here pretty stuff, and it's decorated, and we got parties. And I know your house right now is probably lit up like a Christmas tree, or your neighbors are, and you're starting to put gifts under it and all, and it's just a time for presents. But tonight we're going to talk about the Christian present. It's a little different than a Christmas present. I'd say if I asked the question, what's the greatest gift the world's ever received? And who would we say? What would we say? Jesus. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It was a gift. He was a gift given. Christ was a gift given to the world because the world, we talked Sunday, the world was separated from God. And because God did what we could not do at the right time, while we were still helpless, while we were hopeless, while we were messed up in our sin, God sent His Son to be born. So He gave the world His Son. So if the world gets His Son, who's the Christian's present? Your paid staff, hush. Who? Who is the Christian's present? Oh, the Holy Spirit. You play the drums. You can't answer either. Who else? Thank you. You're the drummer's wife. Y'all, the Holy Spirit, the world don't get the Holy Spirit. Sorry. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for the sins of the world. But the world doesn't get the Spirit. They don't get Him. I mean, as a gift, you know, a gift. Some of you in here, y'all are faithful. Y'all are super faithful. Y'all always give me a gift. It's a peppermint. Okay? And I give you a peppermint. That's a gift to you. God gave the world a gift, and He gave the world His Son. Remember all of Sunday, the separation in the garden. Remember, we should know that. We should be able to articulate that. We should be able to say it and put it into a conversation with somebody who looks at us as churchgoers and say, what is all of this about? What's all this Christmas stuff about? What are you Christians all caught up in this Jesus thing for? Because they don't get it. The message of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing. But to us that is being saved, we get it. We understand it. And we should be able to say back to them, well, let me tell you what happened. There's a problem that every man, woman, boy, and girl on the face of the earth ever has been or ever will be, has, and it's called a sin problem. And that sin problem originated all the way back in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. And we should be able to communicate that. We should be able to say that. And God did for us what we could not do for ourselves, and He gave us hope. He gave the world hope. Mankind was lost, and God sent redemption into the world, and His name was Jesus. Period. Go with me over to John, chapter 14. Chapter 14, chapter 16 of the book of John gives us one of the most detailed examples, conversations, explanations of the role, of the purpose, of the power, the presence, the reason of the Holy Spirit. And listen, church, only Christians get the Holy Spirit. Lost people don't get Him. They don't get the Holy Spirit. He ain't a gift. He ain't part of their story. Jesus is talking to His disciples here in John chapter 14. You know, there's a very familiar passage. It's read at most funerals. Let no church be troubled. And we know the conversation there. We know that Jesus is about to leave His disciples, and He's reminding them that, hey, you're not going to be left alone. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm going to send to you a helper. Okay? And look over in verse 26. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, which is the verse of the week. It's very important. This is one of them that we need to remember, because here's the thing. We have life going on at 100 miles an hour, and things happen all the time. And it's good to be able to bring to remembrance and be able to quote and be reminded of, wait a second, I got a helper. I got a Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name, and He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Yes, in context, in specific context here, Jesus is talking to His disciples, but we receive the gift as well. We have the Holy Spirit that's been given to us. Think about this. All right, Bible says there's none good. There's none good, not one. And the good that we do is the Spirit of God inside of us. There's none righteous. Paul says, my absolute best is but filthy rags. I can't do. So when you're riding down the road, listen to this, Christian. When you're riding down the road and you just start thinking about prayer. Hey, I need to pray. That's not coming from flesh. That's not coming from your goodness. That's not coming from, you know what, I just want to do a right thing. No, that's the Holy Spirit inside of you. Or you know when you're in a situation and you immediately think of a verse, or you immediately think back to a Sunday school lesson. Any of you pay attention? Raise your hand if you pay attention in Sunday school. Teachers, are you looking? Some of your class, see there, some of your class ignored you. They ain't paying you no attention. You know what? I'm convinced Jesus could say, "Raise your hand," and some of you wouldn't raise your hand. But you know, when you're sitting there and you're thinking about maybe a lesson from Sunday school or a verse from when you was a kid or something like that, you know where that comes from? The Holy Spirit, the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit that He's given us, that we have inside of us. You're sitting there, you're in a conversation, and verses start coming to mind. You know, you just start thinking about verses. Two questions. Do you think the devil's putting verses in your mind? I mean, honestly, do you think the devil is putting verses in your mind? Do you think the devil is telling you to pray? Do you think the devil is leading you to a place to where, hey, you need to stop right now and the world is spinning at 100 miles an hour, so you may want to just stop and pray, and you may want to be that person that's... The devil is not doing that. Who's doing it? It's the Holy Spirit. Devil don't want you thinking of God. Devil don't want you to think of the Word. Devil don't want you to quote Scripture. He wants you to do everything but. That's just what he does. He's the Antichrist. He's the enemy. But we have the presence. Christians have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. His actual being is in us. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But he's there. And you say, well, wait a second. What about everybody else? That's just not fair. They don't have it. Lost people don't have the Spirit of God inside of them. Lost people do not have the Spirit of God inside of them. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Because the Bible says it. Look back a few verses at verse 16. Says, I'll ask the Father and He'll give you another helper that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him or know Him. But you know Him because He abides with you and will be in you. The world don't have this present. The world don't have it. Lost people don't have it. People that have never trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior, they don't have conviction. Okay? They don't have Holy Spirit conviction. They just know, here's what lost people know. Lost people know the speed limit's 55, and hey, if I get caught, then I'm going to have to pay a fine. There's a moral law that everybody understands. I mean, there's a common sense that and everybody, that's wrong. You took it from a senior adult. Lost people would know that, wait a second. 10 minutes ago, you gave it to her as a gift, and then you went and took it from her. That's just wrong. Lost people get that. You don't give me takey. You don't be an Indian. You don't do that stuff. So there's a moral law that they just know. And Romans tells us in Romans 1 that God put it in them. They know what's right. They know what's wrong. They know they shouldn't speed because there's a consequences. The law is there for a purpose. You don't break it. You don't steal something that's not yours. You don't take what's not yours. You know, take the Ten Commandments. Lost people kind of just get the Ten Commandments. It's not something, it's just really basic. I mean, she ain't your wife, she's his. It ain't your house, don't covet it. It is not your stuff. Don't lie. You're not supposed to lie, you're supposed to tell the truth. Be a man of your word. I mean, that's a code that the world can live by. Don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, don't covet. Lost people say, look, you honor mom and daddy. But they don't have conviction. They don't have the Holy Spirit inside of them. The Holy Spirit, they didn't get that present. Lost people haven't gotten that present. We got Him. We have the Spirit of God that lives inside of us because of who Christ is and what Christ has done. And He says, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm not going to leave you by yourself. I'm going to come to you. Look at what it says. Read here. He says, I will ask the Father in verse 16. I'll ask the Father, He'll give you another helper that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth. And the world cannot receive because it does not see Him or know Him, but you know Him because He abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Look over in verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father is sending in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. And notice this, it's so cool how Jesus does this. And again, He's walking, He's headed to the cross, actually. He's headed to be arrested. Peace I leave with you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You heard that I say I go away and I'll come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now I've told you before it happens so that you will, when it happens, you may believe. I was thinking about that peace today. You know, I was just sitting here, I literally was sitting right over there, right behind where Zach was. They had the lights on, just sort of the lights on. They didn't have all the lights on in here. And I went over here and I was sitting right over there and I was praying for y'all, praying for the room tonight. And I was thinking about this peace, that peace verse I was going to read. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. And I started thinking about the relationship of the Father and the Son. I mean, Jesus wasn't scared. Jesus knew what was coming. He says, look, I'm telling you before it ever happens. I'm telling you what's coming. And the reason I'm telling you is, I know what's coming. I'm the creator of all of this. And I see it happening. Jesus says, my peace, the peace that Christ had with the Father, that's the peace that we have. We're not talking mean, peace, war with, we have peace with God. And the Spirit inside of us explains that to us, that I'm not scared of God. I'm not scared of God. I don't view him as this here big zapper in the sky, this big grandpa that's just going to zap me. No, when I read Scripture and the way I view him as a loving God, as a God who desires holiness and desires me to act right. And, you know, the rules are there, and his Spirit, he makes this book come alive and makes all these words just kind of pop and make sense. And I'm like, what I was sitting there thinking, and I thought about the rest of the day, I thank you. Thank you that he's given me his Spirit. Thank you that his very presence, God is with me. So, whether life is hard, whether life is mountaintops or valleys, whether sickness or health, whether whatever is going on, Christ is here headed, these next few chapters, he is literally headed to death that he doesn't deserve. And he says to them, and it's only because of the Spirit. He says, look, I got to go, and it's far better for me to go, and if I need to go so that I can send back to you a helper, and he's going to be there with you, and he's going to teach you all of this stuff. We have that helper. We have the presence of God with us. We have God with us, the Holy Spirit. The world don't have that. Go over to chapter 16. Look at verse 7. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Look over at verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he'll guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, and he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and will disclose to you. He's talking to you. Guys, he's talking to us. We have the Spirit of God because of what God did by sending His Son Jesus into this world, and by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We come to salvation through faith in Christ. And when we come, the promise of the Holy Spirit is given, is tapped, is touched. I don't understand it. I can't explain it. But is given to you so that you have understanding that is beyond anything. We are, anybody in here like superheroes? Anybody in here Marvel folks? Y'all like Marvels? Y'all like Marvels? I like me some Marvels. Right now, who are we watching? Hawkeye. You answered again first. I know. He may be the loudest voice I hear in the room. Because everybody else in here was thinking, Hawkeye. Some of you are like, who is Hawkeye? Well, you should have said, no, I don't think about super. Do you know we're superheroes? We are superheroes. Because of God. He has given us His Spirit. We have the Spirit of God that dwells on the inside of us. And He whispers things to us. And we know things and we hear things and God says things to us. Here's some examples. You can be talking to somebody and you just know something's wrong. And there's like inside and you just have this it's like this second sense or third or fourth or fifth sense. You just know stuff and you're like, wow. Or it's one of those things to where you just, does God ever talk, I'm not audibly, does God ever tell you stuff that's about to happen? And you're just listening.
Guys, we got the Spirit of God inside of us. God, in the beginning, God created that God that we that spoke into existence everything that there is. That God who's got everything of your life written down. And in your book were all written for me the days when as yet there was not one of them. We have Him inside of us. My peace I give to you. That's what He's talking about. My peace I give to you. That's why Jesus is like, I ain't scared. I mean, look. Jesus, they come to Him with torches and swords and all this kind of stuff. Peter got ticked. Jesus was calm. Notice how they read it. They were coming to attack, and they're the ones that, like, when Jesus spoke, they're the ones that just flew back on their backs. I mean, He's a bad dude. I love it. I love it in Scripture when Jesus shows out a little bit. He's like, look, if I wanted to call down, I could call down legions of angels right now. I mean, I've got power beyond power beyond power, but I'm doing this. So God will be glorified. We have that same power. And I think a lot of people, though, just, you know what a lot of Christians do? And I'm going to be honest. Live like the folks that don't have it. Live just like the folks that ain't got it. They ain't got it. They don't have the Holy Spirit. They're not believers. They've not been given the promise. They've not been given the seal. We have. We have the Spirit of God inside of us so that, look, this book's not a mystery, Christian. This book is not a mystery. This book is a feast. For us to, all right, Daddy, here I am. I'm sitting down. Speak to me, Lord. How can I take this Old Testament stuff, Lord? How in the world do I apply it? Lord, I want to see Jesus in every one of them. I want to see Jesus in David and Goliath. I want to see Jesus in the storm. I want to see Jesus everywhere. I want to see you, Lord. This is His book. This is His letter to you and me. This is it. There's no chapters out here. There's no chapters back here. This is what it is. This is it. It's no accident that they've tried to destroy it and get rid of it and kill every person. They're still killing every person that believes in it in places. It's not no accident that the enemy is wanting to get rid of this and he's wanting to squash it and keep it quiet. He don't want you. You know what? He wants y'all thinking that preacher crazy tonight. He didn't have nothing to talk about, so he just wanted to get y'all all fired up on the Holy Spirit. He don't know what he's talking about. We have the Spirit of God indwelling us. I mean, we have power. We have insight. We have wisdom. We have guidance, we have protection, we have. We're there. If you want to get deep, paraclete, come alongside. There's so much deeps. I don't like that stuff. Just keep it simple. Guys, we're blessed. You're blessed. If you're a Christian, you're blessed. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know how bad the struggle is. I don't know how bad the hurt is. I don't know how bad the stress and the pressure and the itch. Have you ever thought about, here's the deal, and you've heard this, devil's not going to mess with you if you ain't doing something right. Some of you are like, woohoo, I must be doing a lot right. Praise God. You know, there's a part of it, and I did it a while, but then I stopped it because I'm like, they're just going to depress them. Every Sunday I could walk out this door and I could walk down here to this front and say, oh yeah, by the way, if you go and try to apply any bit of this, all hell's going to break loose in your world. As soon as you get serious about your walk, as soon as you, I mean, like take tonight for example, you will go out and get really fired up about Jesus and devil's going to take every attack he can possibly throw at you, and he's going to try to throw you in the bus, through the bus, around the bus. He's going to turn everybody you know. Listen, your cars are going to quit. Your batteries are going to die. Your dog's going to die. Your cat's going to come up sick. I mean, it's just going to be like, are you kidding me? And he's going to try to shake you. He's going to try to shake you so that you say, okay, let me go worry about this, and 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 let me go worry about this. I cannot tell you the number of times in 20-something years of doing this I've had people come to me and say, preacher, I just don't know if it's worth it. I try to read. I try to pray. We try to do it as a couple. Listen. And it seems like the more we try to get closer to the Lord and the more obedient we are to this book and the more we pray, and the more we just worship, the worse things get. I remind you, who is the prince and power of this air? Guys, they killed your Savior. They killed Jesus. For 3 days, Satan thought he had won. Easter's coming. Sunday's coming. The resurrection happens and we are eternally victorious. Because He lives, we live. Because He overcame, we overcame. But don't stop. When the temperature gets hot and the pressures come and just like, what is going on? The devil wants you to do nothing but take your eyes off Christ and look at this. You got the Holy Spirit if you're a Christian. You've got the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you. I don't know what your focus is on. I don't know if you're looking at... I mean, everything in me right now is thinking of Jesus calming the storms. Or Peter walking on water. Or there's so many sermons that could come to mind. We do amazing things while we keep our eyes on Christ. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what work is like. I don't know what family is like. I don't know what your relationship in your marriage is like. I don't know what your relationship with your sons and daughters are like. I don't know what your health is like. You know, you may have some things just waiting to explode in there. I don't know. But God does. And here's the thing. Do not take your eyes off Christ. You are not going through whatever it is by yourself. You are not struggling alone. You're not on an island all by yourself. It's not the worst thing in the world that's happening to you. It's universal. No temptation is overtaken to you except that which is common to man. And we have been given a way of escape, and it's by faith, and we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. The world doesn't have that, y'all. Lost people does not have that. I encourage you with that. I encourage you to be a superman. I encourage you to be superwoman. I encourage you. And you sit there and you say, and here's the deal. It still may not make the pain go away. It's still may not make the situation change. We're still in it, but here's the deal. There's nothing coming at you or me that God's not okayed. Have you remembered or forgotten the book of Job? Have you considered my servant Job? Have you considered him or her? But I'm going to tell you something. Greater is He that's in you than He that's in the world. You are an overcomer. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Our strength is not in this broken flesh and this came from dust and this will go back to dust, but my spirit will forever live on. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. But until then, I want to be found faithful. Father God, this world is hard sometimes. The distractions are many and various and come in all shapes and sizes. But Lord, You have given us a gift. You have not just given us freedom from sin and wrath. You have not only have You freed us from condemnation, not only have You promised us a home that's prepared in the heavens with You for all of eternity, God, but You went so much further and You literally gave us Yourself. You have given us Your Spirit, and we, as sons and daughters of Yours, God, have been indwelt by the power of the Holy Spirit. You are in us to lead us, to guide us, to direct us, to convict us, to show us. Holy Spirit, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that You would open our eyes. God, that You would let us see You, that You would let us see the world through Your eyes. God, give us wisdom so much bigger than anything we can ever dream or imagine. God, help us stop living so overwhelmed, so distracted and caught up in the useless, fleeting stuff of this world, God. Lord, we want to live for You. We want to be obedient to You. We want to be men that honor You. We want to be women that honor You. Holy Spirit of God, take over our lives. We give You our lives. We give You our families. We give You our homes. We give You ourselves, our health. Lord, our resources, our abilities. We give all of that to You, and we simply rest in Your power, in Your provision, in Your protection, in Your holiness. Holy Spirit of God, we go in Your strength. God, I thank You. Thank You, Jesus, for coming and being obedient, but I thank You for going, preparing us a place and sending us a helper. God, I praise You. Bless us indeed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Night, night, y'all.